And welcome to our show, Geeks Are Wired Podcast. We're talking about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, we have Jordan.
The lone voice in the wind telling everyone to watch Blade Runner, and apparently no one does. Which, yeah. You guys may not see this because I am a pretty hardened 21st century man, but I'm crying inside.
Oh.
I'm sad. It's a true story.
Aww.
Yeah. Ryan Gosling's probably also sad.
He already got his paycheck.
Harrison Ford. Yeah.
No, Harrison Ford's very much good with that. Remember, he is being going back to all of his movies so he can be killed off in them.
Yeah, but what makes you think he was killed off in this one?
I don't know. Just a good assumption.
Oh, my Space Goat spoilers.
Well, he may be killed off in it. I'm not going to say it either way.
So Ted does like spoil, or so the man who does like spoilers, Ted, is here.
Is the purpose of this little introducing everybody so that they can get calibrated to what the voices sound like so that they know who's talking?
Sure.
Did you ever think about that, or are you just saying yes because it fits your narrative at this moment?
Exactly.
I hate you, Bill. I hate you so much right now.
Oh. And we have Anna.
Yep, I'm here, and I did not watch Blade Runner yet. I think it would be nice to watch Thor Ragnarok, though. That should be coming out here pretty soon.
This weekend.
And we need to take her mom's a big Jackie Chan fan, so we wanted to take her mom to see The Foreigner. Man, we're going to be so poor.
Not yet, the movie pass.
We don't.
You should get the movie pass if you're watching lots of movies.
Maybe we should.
They're going to sell your information, but who cares?
Well, it's already been sold so much anyways.
Yeah.
And plus, after that Equifax break-in, I mean, other people are selling my information too. So it's just a matter of time.
Vladimir has your social security number right now.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's my Russian answer.
I'm sure Trump already gave everybody's social security number to the Russians anyways. So there's my politicizing for the year.
Okay.
I promise I won't do it again.
And the quiet man in the States far, far away, Alex.
A time zone away. You'll hear my recording in an hour. Disjointed from everybody else.
How many states are you in, Alex?
Several. I haven't been watching what I've been eating. So I keep encompassing more territory.
Back to your high school days, huh?
Oh, I figured it would be like a mental state or an emotional state.
So no, that's very isolated. That's tiny. The emotional, The emotional, mental, all of it. It's goldfish, maybe Labrador, somewhere in there.
Alex, you're in good company. You know who also didn't watch what they ate? The Buddha. He's kind of on the larger side.
And right. Because
I read a biography on Siddhartha, and I got the feeling that that guy didn't eat much.
There was a couple Buddhas, I think.
He had his asceticism for a while, but then the statues all show him being fat, and so
there's plenty of statues that show him being skinny too.
Yeah, I think there was like a couple different Buddhas. I think he was like reincarnation, so like one of them was like over.
Yeah, I guess you could have that's like one of those. It's like the Buddha is the enlightened one, so it's like I mean the Matrix probably had other ones before Neo, so I think Buddhism probably ripped that off from the Matrix.
If you believe in the sequels, it definitely had more ones. I think they were like the 12th iteration or something.
Yeah. Remember Colonel Sanders?
Yeah, Colonel Sanders, which was using all those big words so he could sound cool.
Right. Concurrently, I dare say.
Yeah. I think at one time, I think I heard him look over at Neo, and then he like muttered under his breath. He's like, "You quadruped violating coprophage."
I know what that is.
Yeah. So I'm sure he...
That's like a Joss Whedon insult. It's like how he can't call somebody without just like concatenating like a waffle with like a swear word. If I saw Joss Whedon, I'd just cut him off in traffic to see what swear word he gave me.
He'd probably say something with the word pigu in it
or effluvium. He actually used effluvium in Buffy. I remember that's how I learned of the word effluvium.
I was watching, or I was listening to a podcast, the Sam Harris podcast today, and he was talking about Buddhism. and about the benefits of meditation. So your mention of Siddhartha is and the Buddha is timely for me.
Yeah, you should read Lord of Light by Robert Zelazny. I'm going to ask, what does that have to do with what you're talking about?
I was expecting you to tell me.
Well, I'll say read and find out.
Uh-huh. That's like so, a reading Ted. Rainbow hook.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Ted.
What's up?
With you talking about Joss Whedon, were you going to bring up anything about what I was talking about a couple days ago?
About Joss Whedon.
Mead and Whedon.
About one of Joss Whedon's creations.
One of Joss Whedon's creations. How come I don't remember this? I don't know. Oh. So...
I was just gonna let you bring it up.
I might have to crucify you because he said the other day that he watched it movie first and only two episodes. And I don't know, you're just a horrible human being, is all I have to say. I mean,
well, I also called the movie the series and the series the movie.
Yeah, Serenity, Firefly. I watched Serenity, I only watched a couple episodes. traumas like that are best just left in the past.
Don't
bring it up. I already have PTSD from it.
You said you wanted to shame me on the podcast.
I was just threatening you.
Hold the phone. You're like not down with the Firefly?
Oh, no. I saw Serenity. I saw the movie first. Didn't know there was a series. Then...
I don't know how you can miss something like that being such tuned in the geek culture. Anyways, continue.
I was overseas.
Oh, right. You were playing Xbox in the desert.
Yep, exactly. And then I was overseas playing Xbox in the desert running around, having fun. But then I came back and then I watched a movie. It looked kind of cool. And then I got a couple episodes into the series, but I don't know. It's not that I don't dislike it. It's just...
It didn't keep your attention.
Yeah.
Because you already saw Wash Die, and you were like...
I can understand that, Bill. I like Firefly and Serenity, but I acknowledge that they're not the greatest thing ever.
Do you know how the Reavers clean their spears?
They run it
through the wash. Yeah. Didn't you have... No. Yeah. Another coworker had to ask me what killed Wash. And then I cried a little bit on the inside.
Aww.
It was very sad.
All right. Yeah. Well, how about get into some of the fun stuff that happened over last week?
Halloween? Did you have a good Halloween?
I got free comic books for Halloween, and I gave away free comic books for Halloween.
Yeah, I saw you were giving some away today at work. That was cool of you. And what did you dress up as?
Me?
Yeah.
Let's see. I think a Geeks Are Wired podcaster.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Anna and I were very creative this Halloween, weren't we, Anna?
Yeah, we just had some t-shirts. You can describe what's on the t-shirt, Ted.
They were skeletons, so it had a rib cage, and there was some food in my belly. And in Anna's belly, there was a little skeleton of a little baby with a pink bow.
Nice.
That was very cute.
I thought you guys were going to talk about the Paris Gaming Convention, where they showed The Last of Us, the trailer.
Bro, you want to talk about it?
Oh, yeah, we should talk about that. That's a... Sony had a ton of good announcements.
For Paris?
Yeah, it's the new thing.
She's such
Paris.
A spoiled little brat. I mean, why did she get her own convention?
Well, you know, celebrities these days. Anyways, Alex, you sound more up to date about it than I do, so why don't you?
Not really. I just watched the Last of Us trailer and saw they announced a new God of War game, God of War game coming out. They had a couple other things. I think Naughty Dog had two announcements.
All I need to know about Game of War was an animated GIF I saw once where he was pulling off a god's or a giant's fingernail.
Yep.
And I was kind of out at that point.
What?
That's so painful. Fantastic. That hurts so much.
Yeah, so it looks like there's going to be a smaller PS4 Pro. There's going to be a new Mass Effect. Which that surprised me. I thought they put a fork in that. Of course, The Last of Us, God of War. There's got to be more things than that. Human.
So you brought it up. What else did you see?
Well, yeah, what Alex was saying in Detroit, The Last Human, which is a Quantic Dreams game that is. They haven't made a game since I think Beyond.
Isn't it pronounced Detroit? Like, did they actually say Detroit in France? Just curious.
Detroit?
Detroit?
No, it didn't happen last week. It's happening right now.
Okay.
It's just started on the 1st.
All right.
And that's why I'm so confused. I'm like, when did this go on?
And I can't recall.
Oh, I got the whole list here. Oh, man, there's also they announced Spelunky 2. That's a pretty good announcement. They got the Ghost of Tsushima, which looks like kind of like a feudal Japan type of like Witcher game.
Oh, I was thinking it was more like a Grave of Fireflies, the game, which I would play that game.
Ugh.
Trying not to let your little sister die. Oh, man.
There's Detroit.
Oh, look, Minecraft. I heard that's a good game.
And they announced just like tons of stuff.
This is also where
like, every time I click a link for things they announced, it's different stuff on every page. I'll bet Ars Technica has a better list. Here we go. This is a good list. Yeah, Spelunky 2, Ghost of Tsushima, Resident Evil 7 expansion, The Last of Us Part 2. Oh, new Shadow of the Colossus game. That'll excite some folks.
The South Park French game looks like the anus of destiny.
Yeah, that's kind of what I got out of that, too.
Yeah, there's...
instead of the fractured butthole, it's the anus of destiny.
I'm on the Paris Game Con website. It's like the Paris Games Week. And yeah, they have the French version of the fractured butthole.
You know, I played that game, and it's pretty awesome. It's not as good as the original, but it is really fun.
Based on your review, I almost bought it, but then it was $60, and I just backed out at the last minute.
Yeah.
I think they have it on free trial right now, where they just got done with it.
Yeah, well, I started playing Battle for the Overlord.
It's him?
The thing we were talking about last week.
Did you play the Stick of Truth?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, like, if like as far as I know, like, they're basically the same game. Like, just, like,
yeah,
thematically
they are.
Different.
But,
so, like, yeah, if you want to, like, play the whole list, go Stick of Truth.
Well, I think that they are.
They had new content,
it is, though. Well, yeah, it's an extension of the same humor, and you have basically the same area to explore, and so you're interacting with mostly the same characters, and the only difference, I think, really, is that there's a slight change, a rejiggering of the battle dynamics, and so they made it more strategic.
I really like turn-based. Is it still turn-based?
It's kind of, yeah, not, it's right? Turn-based, but it's you can have more maneuverability, and so it's more like Fallout kind of turn-based, like the original Fallout games, where you have blocks
that works. As long as, like, I don't know, I really hate that there's not as many, like, turn-based games like that these days, because I mean, back in the heyday of my gaming experience, there was tons of like turn-based RPGs and whatnot, the Final Fantasies, Dragon Warrior, and you know, stuff like that. And now, like, it's Pokemon. So
well, it totally does keep that turn-based structure. I liked the gameplay less than I did Stick of Truth, but I liked the humor just as much. I felt like it really was just an extension of Stick of Truth, and so if you like Stick of Truth, I can't see you not liking.
Yeah, I'll probably let the price go down a little bit, $20 or so, and then I'll pick it up in a year or two.
I'm sure that'll happen soon enough, actually.
Yeah,
you might not be looking for recommendations, Ted, but you might also, there's like some pretty okay turn-based strategy RPGs out that, like, came out very recently. Like, Undertale is kind of like the go-to one for a lot of folks, but like the Fire Emblem games are like just super good. Like there isn't very much in the way of like RPG, but like the combat in them is so good.
And what did you say, Firebomb?
Fire Emblem. It's a Nintendo property. It's kind of like it reminds me a lot of like Final Fantasy Tactics. But Fire Emblem's actually been around since, like, I think the first version came out in the Famicom in like the 80s. So it's a series that's been around for a really long time, but the combat mechanics have stayed, like, mostly the same. It's kind of like a top-down, like, position your units on a field, and then you do, like, turn-based battles against each other. And, like, there's rock-paper-scissors system in the current games where, like, swords are strong against axes, axes are strong against lances, lances are strong against swords.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, it's actually, like, it's actually a pretty okay game. There's, like, a mobile version out that's okay, and it has like the battle mechanics intact. They're just like greatly simplified, but yeah, there's also like a bunch of like pretty much you have a Nintendo console made since like the GameCube. There is a version of Fire Emblem available for it.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, I didn't realize that Team Ninja worked on it.
Team Ninja worked on Fire Emblem?
Yeah, that's what it said in the trailer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Was not aware.
Also, it said that at the beginning of the trailer is Team Ninja. They co-opted that.
Is this a preview for Fire? Oh, it is.
Yeah. For Fire Emblem Warriors.
For the Switch?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Fire Emblem Warriors is a different title. It's basically they took like all the Fire Emblem IP and there's like attached and there's basically took all the mechanics from Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah, actually, I was trying to think of the name of the game.
Fire Emblem. It's definitely Dynasty Warriors with Fire Emblem characters.
I also noticed that they're showing Call of Cthulhu, which I didn't know if they're still working on that. So I'm pleased that they are.
Well, it's really maddening. Yeah, so like the last I found that they put Chrono Trigger on the Android store. So I picked that up. And it really irritated me because when you go between like certain screens, it downloads the level. It downloads all the stuff there. So when you like go to certain areas, you have to sit there and wait for it to download. And if you have your data turned off, you're just out of luck.
Oh.
Which really upset me. I wish I would have realized that before I purchased it.
Well, that's pretty exciting. They're also doing Ni no Kuni 2, which is the Studio Ghibli game. Yeah, Yakuza 6.
Yeah. Ark finally released.
Like in France?
No, it's not in beta.
Oh, it's no longer in beta?
It's no longer in beta.
You mean I've been playing it in beta this whole time?
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. I just started playing Rust again lately and I got
downloaded it. We should actually
We could. Like I'm a black guy with a small genitalia, so.
Well, cool. I probably will be too.
yeah, but they added ladies and so you could be a lady.
Is it random?
I got to say they kind of so it's generated based off your Steam ID or whatever, but it doesn't ever change. So once you get it, you got it and you're done. They updated it when they added ladies and I guess some people changed or something like that. I don't know. But there were definitely ladies in there, but they kind of reminded me of the Game of Thrones lady when she took off her magical emblem and stopped looking pretty.
That's Melisandre.
I didn't want to spoil it for anybody. Way to go.
That was almost 2 years ago.
Spoilers. Yeah, I didn't read the book yet.
It didn't happen in the book.
Now you're spoiling the spoilers of the spoils.
Anyways, yeah, they looked kind of creepy, but yeah, I got all the way up. I got a gun. I was feeling pretty good about myself, and I was like chopping down a tree, and I noticed someone trying to sneak up at me, so I chased him down with a spear, and they kept running, so I threw the spear at him and switched to my gun, and they killed me with my own spear. I am not good at combat in that type of game.
Usually somebody will start sneaking on me. While defending myself or my base that I'm kind of setting up, somebody will end up sniping me. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I've even like run into people in that game where we're both kind of like skittish. Like, are you going to kill me? No. Are you going to kill me? Okay. So we'll do our thing. Okay. We're not killing each other. Hey, since we're not killing each other and we're both the bottom of the totem pole, want to work together? Sure. I need to get this door. Great. I'll work on that.
I've never actually had someone like, I had someone like kill me, but not, you know, cause you just lay there and then they'll like help me up. They'll take all my stuff and then help me up. And they're like, hey, I'm making a base. Come check it out. And he's like, if you check it out, I'll give you your stuff back. I was like, all right,
sure.
You could have just not killed me. I would have been okay with that too. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I'm not very good at that game.
No, that game has evolved. I remember when you couldn't really build them too big. Like you could initially just build a hut mm-hmm. with, and all you do is put a door on it, and you were all set. So, or you could go out and really start building everything. So, first thing is build the hut, and then you have a base at least. They got rid of the little quick hut thing though. It kind of like you have to put up the walls and this roof now, and I'm like,
yeah. Seems a little problematic. Well, I don't know. I like Ark better, though.
Yeah.
Because dinosaurs help you get stuff.
Well, and I like the old Rust with zombies and zombie bears.
I don't
and you never light a fire
zombies.
At night. Hey, they get rid of the zombies. It kind of sucks.
Well, all the other players make it hard enough. You don't need zombies also.
Actually, that would
since you're just like laying on the beach.
Yeah.
Like you log out and you're just laying there. Wow.
Actually, have you seen the trailer for Ark? It's like somebody like is looking up like, oh, hey. And then, like this lady's on her dinosaur looking down at him. It's like, hey, how are you? And then just like bites his head off. It's like, yep, that's exactly how it works.
I play Ark locally. You can't play Rust locally as far as I can tell.
You can set up a server.
Well, yeah, you got to set up your own server and then, but.
And make it private. You can private it. Or at least you used to.
Yeah, but you got to run the server and the client.
That's why you have a good computer.
Mine's not that good.
Oh. Our podcast computer probably is. We'll set that up and then I'll help on my laptop and then play. Or maybe I'll play from the server.
Anne and I finished Stranger Things.
So you want to jump all the way to that?
Jump all the way to that.
That was at the bottom of the list.
We digress. No, it's not.
It's at the bottom of the list.
There's a mountain between us down below that.
Okay.
And
fine, Stranger Things.
Came out.
Last Friday.
Anne and I watched it over the course of the weekend and whatnot.
There's a few days that we just kind of spent.
We finished it last night, yeah. I think Anna kind of felt like she's looking at applying for a new job. And so she's been, not a new job, a new position in the same job, but whatever. Anyway, she's been busy and wasn't watching it as well as she could have been. But
she had lots of work.
I liked it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to watch, like, the new season of it.
I think it suffers from the same thing that The Matrix did, whereas, like, they do this thing, and this thing is, like, really, really cool, you know, going into the upside down, whatever. And they can't ever do this cool thing again. So they just have to live in that world. And so some people are extra critical about it.
Hmm.
Personally, that's, I think, why I think people weren't as excited about this one as the other one. Well, I'm looking at you.
Going to the upside down world?
No, well, just the fact that they introduced it and are like, look, this is this cool place with like, you know, it's just like Haunted Hill, you know?
Well, I'm less enthusiastic about it because I feel that there's less of a momentum to it than the initial season because the characters are in their diaspora. They're all separated and they're doing their own thing. And I think they're mostly doing boring things like the whole 11 being holed up and everything like that.
I like that. I really like the 11 timeline.
Okay. Are you going? How much spoiler are you?
I'm not spoiling. I'm just saying that I really enjoyed the 11 timeline.
Mm.
And you know, where it's showing where she started after the last one and you know, where she ended up and everything she took. And I thought that was really interesting. Mm. And I like that they go into more of the goings on of the place where she grew up, like the acquired her powers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still like, I really want to know more about that. Like, cause I don't think it really says if she was like born with them or they somehow gave them to her or what the deal was. So I feel like that's something that I'd like to know more about.
I also was not as much of a fan of Mad Max. I thought she was an extraneous character.
I felt bad for her. Like, everybody's a jerk to her.
Yeah. I did like her, the person that she's with, who's the blonde dude with the mullet. I thought he was...
The racist jerkwad?
Yeah, I love that guy. He's
You would.
Yeah, he's just totally... Full on stereotype bad person of the 80s. Like he's
I was thinking more like rocker of the 80s.
Not necessarily. There was plenty of rockers who were good dudes.
Yeah.
I grew up with a lot of rockers that were good dudes. This guy was not a good dude.
Yeah, I found it very entertaining how over the top he was.
So yeah, and that's the thing, like this is I don't know. It might be kind of mildly spoilerish, but I'm going to say it anyways, and you can just turn off for like a couple minutes, fast forward a little bit or whatever. I don't think it's that much of a spoiler. That's why I'm saying it.
Uh-huh.
Bill can edit me later. So if this skips right to something else, you know that he edited it out because he thought it was too spoiler. Anyways, I thought the one guy, the girl's boyfriend that was really the kind of the bad person in the previous one.
The douchebag who became the super nice guy.
Yeah, he like turned into a nice guy because he realized that he really liked that girl or whatever. Uh-huh. Like they filled the same role, but they were like, last time we made them like learn and get better, but this time we're going to make them irredeemable. And I think that's really what they like did there. Like he has no good parts through the whole thing. He doesn't serve any good purpose whatsoever.
The secondhand Andrew Garfield? Like the guy with the hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. He seems like he's so far up to the point that I've seen, he seemed really like too nice. Oh. It was annoying because I liked the plot twist where they have realistic.
Actually, no, as soon as you say
well,
plot
this
twist?
Is the first season.
Okay, okay.
The plot twist in the first season where it becomes the realistic situation where the girl hooks up with the guy who's kind of the douchebag. I like that.
I just want to jump in and say secondhand Andrew Garfield is really good. Well done, sir.
Yeah. But I liked him in the first season. I was rooting for him because I always root for the scurrilous character. And he was that. And so it pleased me that the leading female hooked up with him. But then I was disappointed that he turned all super nice. And I was pleased to see that she ditched him as soon as he became too nice. And so let's.
All right. I think we're about to start working into spoilery territory. So everyone's liking it, though. I haven't watched the last episode.
It's okay.
I really liked it. I liked it probably about as much as the first season.
Okay.
Maybe slightly less. And like I said, I think it's because of that Matrix syndrome, I'll call it. That's just what I'm calling it. Because
sequels usually aren't as good as
well,
the
not necessarily
originals.
The sequels. The thing is that the Matrix like turns you sideways when he pops up out of that energy tube or whatever in the real world. You're like, what the? And there's no way that any sequel can top that. There's nothing that they're going to be able to do that's going to be able to top that. And it's the same thing with Stranger Things. When they like start showing them going into the upside down and you're like, what the crap is going on? Like, there's so much more to this. Like, they can't reintroduce that. And if they like added a third dimension or something like that, it would just seem forced and dumb, right? So,
that's why they can't do that. I liked like Sense8 because it's the thing that with the Wachowskis being, you know, making the Matrix and very stuffed in a time period or stuffed in a limited amount of time to record and stuffed in limited locations. I think it's what made Sense8 so much better is that they broadened it and then, you know, they turned you sideways and they were like, hey, this. And then they brought in the world. They expanded how much this covered so they could jump around easily. So you're not like, oh, I'm staring at one spot. This spot must get better. Instead, you're staring at like a dozen different locations and you can now grow them individually and it makes the better story. That's why I'm so pissed off that they just stopped Sense8. But I understand why, because it's a really expensive TV show.
And people aren't watching
it. No, people were watching a lot of it.
Not enough people were watching it.
No, it was one of their top ones.
They canceled Firefly and people took out a full page ad. So obviously people aren't watching it.
A group of watching it, taking out a full page ad is not equivalent to a lot of people watching it. You can have passionate fans, but that doesn't correlate to lots of fans.
But what it was is that, because Netflix had the numbers on that show. The problem was, they're recording in like 12 different locations
in
the world.
It's expensive.
It is one of the most expensive TV shows ever.
Again, so you need the numbers to support that.
No, you need unrealistic numbers. You need numbers that make the big TV show ones. You need numbers that make Game of Thrones seem small. Because
Game of Thrones is more expensive than Sense8.
Sense8?
Yeah, Game of Thrones.
They went around the world and they were recording.
So does Game of Thrones.
It was the traveling in.
Game of Thrones films simultaneously in 4 locations often across the world.
And Sense8 simultaneously recorded in 12 locations in every episode.
Okay, yeah. And so Game of Thrones, it costs over $100 million
I forget how much Sensei it costs.
It costs $7.
$7.
So that's a significant burden. Sensei is even the most expensive series for Netflix. That actually belongs to The Crown, which costs, I think, $120 million for the first season.
Holy moly.
Yeah. It's insane. The Crown is more expensive than Game of Thrones, actually.
Was it at least good?
I tried watching the first episode.
It's okay. I mean, it's like deluxe Downton Abbey.
Yeah. Yeah, I made it through like...
I've been wanting to get into Downton Abbey.
I think I made it to two episodes of The Crown.
It's not as good as like the first like couple seasons of Downton Abbey, though. Like, it's okay.
Isn't it?
Like, the one thing that's really good about it is there's an episode, I think, called The Smog. If you don't want to... If you don't think you'll have time to like actually sit down and watch the entire series or like an entire season, watch the... I think it's called The Smog. Let me look it up.
Wait, you're thinking of South Park.
No.
That costs $120 million.
I think the title of the episode is The Great Smog.
Isn't it based in like World War One around that?
It's about Elizabeth. And so it starts out around that time because, like, you've seen The King's Speech, right? That's her father.
That's a good movie.
Maybe I might be mixing up my shows then. I may not have actually seen The Crown.
It's on Netflix. They had it like just on like the front page for like, I don't know, like about 3 or 4 months after it first premiered.
Yeah. Okay. The 1940s. So it's after World War II. Well, it's just before World War II starts.
Yeah. It is. It starts I think like the 20s or 30s, and then goes up through World War II.
Yeah,
but that is expensive. Marco Polo was also really expensive.
Alex loved that one.
And all of its spinoffs.
It is so
Mr.
Great.
Blind Eyes and
amazing Marco Polo. That was
actually, I think he's Mr. Blind Twinkly Eyes and Dancing Feet.
I don't even remember. I know that we watched it, and I remember regretting that I wasn't just filthy drunk while we were watching it.
All I remember is Alex was like completely pissed about it.
Well, raging together. Alex, do you remember? Is you, Joe, and I were trying to watch that show, and we just kind of occasionally looked at each other with the question, "Why are we doing this to ourselves?"
Yeah, like there's a point. It went from spectacle as entertainment, just because of how astonishingly terrible it was, to like this actually just kind of hurts. Let's stop.
It was pretty painful.
Oh, since we're talking about astonishingly painful, you should check out The Babysitter on Netflix. Astonishingly terrible.
It looks pretty bad. Like, even from a camp perspective, it looks like forced camp in a bad way.
It's directed by McGee, so that tells you enough.
Yeah. No, it was amazing.
It was really entertaining.
Yes, yeah. I laughed so hard. Like... Even the concept of it was like the babysitter or the kid that's being babysat woke up and saw that the babysitter was performing satanic rituals in their living room.
I saw that preview and I was like, nope.
Oh gosh, it's just
hard pass.
Awesome. Yeah.
Okay.
Get your Satanism fix on.
Well, why don't we move back to games?
Okay. All right.
That's what Nintendo expects their Switch to outsell the Wii U in its first year.
Okay.
So they're going to sell four consoles?
The Wii U's first year?
Yes.
The Wii U's first year or all of Wii U?
No, the first year's. So they're going to sell more Switches.
The first year of the Switch
is expecting to beat the first year of
the
Wii U.
I think the first year of the Switch is going to beat like all of the Wii U's sold.
Wii U. I was thinking Wii. Sorry. Yes. So within the first year, the Switch is going to outsell the Wii U. Period.
I can see that. Like with games like Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey, they have already, as far.
I get it because Breath of the Wild came out. It was good. It was on the Switch and the Wii U, but people hadn't bought the Wii U, and they're not going to bother buying the Wii U, and they can just get a Switch and play it there.
And there's the Odyssey as well, which is not on Wii U. Super Mario Odyssey is an amazing game. So.
I was reading something that it said that it like didn't punish the players, and I was a little confused
easier.
About.
I think that is one of the easier Mario games.
Well, they said that it didn't punish the players, but it was still offered a challenge, is what I had read.
I found it. I mean, there's a challenge, but it definitely isn't equivalent in any respect to basically any of the other Mario games. I found it really, really easy.
Do you remember Super Mario 3D World?
Yeah, I do remember
that. That one's so hard.
Yeah. Well, the standards to get to the next, to the secret world are ridiculous. For Mario Odyssey, it's much, much more manageable. I haven't actually gotten like full completionist on that game, but I've beaten it, and I'm nearly on the first secret world. So I guess it remains to be seen. I haven't looked up details on the game, but yeah, I found it pretty easy.
I saw this really funny Collectible article about unlocking Luigi in Super Mario Odyssey, and it was just like a quote from Shigeru Miyamoto that said, "Just get toxic people out of your life. Get all the toxic people out of your life. Be real. Don't have time for fake people." I don't think that's how you get Luigi in Mario Odyssey. Actually, can you even get Luigi in Mario Odyssey?
You can wear Luigi's clothes. So,
if you know what I mean.
That's kind of weird, though, because like Mario could just throw his hat at Luigi and become Luigi. Like if the whole game is about possession and you can't possess Luigi, that's kind of a bummer.
It is actually freaky when you put it in that term, or in those terms, because Mario does go around possessing a lot of creatures against their will. And yeah, he's the ultimate.
So wait, is that better or worse than jumping on their head to their death?
I think that like violating their will.
But
is,
they're still alive.
He's one-upping that because he's possessing them, making them kill their comrades, and then eventually he gets bored of the possession and kills them. So
there is like an existential horror, because like what happens to like the possessee once they're possessed? Like, are they fully cognizant of what's going on around them?
Well, it'd be horrifying either way if you become aware after the possession is relinquished. Then you're like seeing all of your dead friends and the blood covering.
Yeah, what if it's like a Lost Highway moment, and like you just wake up and you've done something terrible,
or like a Being John Malkovich, where you kind of sit as a passenger in your own body, like watching the things happen and having no ability to do anything about it.
Either way is pretty terrifying, and Mario is complicit. Like he totally, even harmless creatures, he's willing to possess, like creatures that pose him no harm. But he just takes advantage of them because he can.
Is he possessing them or just taking their form?
Yeah, he's like them. Taking their being over, like their physical body. Because you jump into their body.
Oh, he becomes the bullet. Oh, okay.
Like it isn't like a Mega Man or Kirby situation. It's I am like inside your mind now.
Wait, doesn't Kirby, he eats them?
Oh yeah, he does.
He never spits them back up, does he?
I don't think so. I think he converts them to like a star power.
So he kills them and then takes their form.
So it's more of like a transmutation kind of deal. So like maybe more like Cronenberg body horror, and instead of being John Malkovich.
Yeah, you know, you think about these old cutesy games, and like they just, if you really think about it from like a more realistic standpoint, they're pretty.
Oh, Kirby universe is just like awful if you think about it, because it's if you go back to the first game and actually look at the lore of it, there's like a greedy, slightly corrupt monarch that's trying to defend his planet from this alien that showed up and is just like decimate all of his forces, and he ends up trying to fight this monster away from his kingdom because this thing is so dumb it's going to take this relic called the Star Rod and try to, I don't know, just be a dumb child idiot with it. And it manages to take it from the king, and then the nightmare shows up, and then Kirby has to fight it. And then after that point is basically this monarch has to like humor the apex predator of like the entire solar system and like go go-kart racing and just like watch it eat his own people just so it doesn't like completely obliterate the entire kingdom. I feel really bad for King DDD. He's got a terrible job. If any of you played the Kirby games to completion, you'll know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, I sound like a gibbering idiot.
That's okay. I'm sure someone out there has. And if you have, you can always give us a call at 801-896-4335.
Yeah.
Or email us at geeksarewired@gmail.com.
Ooh.
Do you think that Mario, like, it's not in the game so far, do you think he's ever, with his newfound powers, like, he's tempted to possess Peach?
I would. That's the first thing I would do. Yeah. Like, I got this hat. Where's Peach? Or any pretty lady, really.
I talked about this with Jamie, and it just disturbed her way too much to, like, think about any deep level. But I always thought, like, if Mario took over Luigi's body, and then I guess just basically courted Peach or Daisy or whoever Luigi's into, and then just, like, grew old with them, and Luigi just had to be a backseat driver and watch his brother get, like, all the credit of, and, like, just run his own life for him all the way to completion. So, like, Luigi has to, like, Luigi is, like, married to this person, but it's not him. And he has to, like, just watch.
So, wait, in this timeline that you've dreamed up, did they ever spend any time looking for Mario?
I mean, there's, like, a whole game about Mario's missing. And, like, nobody pay attention to that game, so clearly nobody cares if Mario goes missing. I think it's like an educational game by, like, Bert or Bund or one of those, Carbon San Diego type studios.
I mean, Mario is the hero, so he can take care of himself.
Yeah, plus, I mean, Mario could just, like, jump out every time the kingdom needs saving and just, like, stash Luigi somewhere. And they'll be like, oh, the Mario brothers are going out to stop Bowser. And then just when Mario's done, he takes over Luigi again. And Mario's like this persistent hero. And Mario as Luigi is just constantly talking about how great his brother Mario is. And Luigi doesn't get saying it.
Well, Luigi, as far as I know, has not mysteriously appeared in the game. So we don't know what's going on.
That's the thing Nintendo's been doing. They keep, like, putting it backburnering Luigi in games. Like the last Paper Mario game, like, Luigi was like a hidden thing you discovered in it. Like, he wasn't even a character. Like, you had to go looking for a Luigi, and you got, like, coins if you found him.
You think that Mario and Luigi are virgins? Like, they've never...
Well, they're from Italy, not Virginia.
No, they're from Brooklyn. That's canon.
Yeah, that's true. You've seen the movie, right?
Yeah, it's definitely canon. I mean, they're not plumbers anymore. That's also canon, but, yeah, they're Brooklyn former plumbers.
Well, they're heroes now.
Okay, then what is Princess the Peach of?
Princess Peach is the princess of the Toadstool Kingdom.
Which is...
A kingdom of toadstools.
In the sewers?
It's.
I want to know why Japan's so obsessed with mushrooms, just as a side
they're pretty good.
Thing.
Tastes good.
Like, you see so much mushroom-related stuff coming out of Japan, just in general.
It doesn't take much to grow.
They're kind of fun looking. They're an interesting thing.
Yeah. When we were there, what was it, 5 years ago?
Yeah, about
six, 5 years ago. They had, like, there was a cartoon that was a mushroom. It was a cartoon, and the main character was a mushroom, and it was fairly phallic, but it was everywhere. It was like so popular, and I'm like, what is the big deal?
No, I'm waiting for a scandal to break out to emerge that Mario is the Harvey Weinstein of the Toadstool Kingdom. Yeah, he has his power, and he, like, seems like a good guy. Well, Harvey Weinstein never seemed like a good guy.
No.
But,
you know, so what was it? I think there was some Family Guy jokes about Harvey Weinstein, and there was also about Kevin Spacey, who just recently had his own little scandal there too.
He came on to the wrong
and
person.
So I think
not that, literally.
Okay,
I think if we want to find out who's next, we just have to go back and really watch Family Guy.
Or just listen to the industry, because those jokes were even made and
are like pretty common. Yeah. What was it? Bobcat Goldthwait wanted to name one of his comedy albums Bill Cosby raped a woman, like, and that was it. That was just like the name of it. He's just like, I want to call this album Bill Cosby raped a girl or something like that. and they told him he couldn't. But yeah, like if you look at, like, he has an old stand-up bit about Bill Cosby being a sexual predator, and he's like, I'm not even joking, he is.
Yeah.
And like nobody listened to him because he's Bob Goldthwait.
Yeah.
It is curious. I do wonder to what extent Hollywood will self-destruct over this. I think that it will recover from the ashes of all that, but it seems
there's
like
plenty of other industries and plenty of other production companies.
Marilyn Manson had a member of his band had a sexual scandal, and he just fired him. The first he heard of it, they just fired the dude.
Well,
so you know, if
you kind of have
the
problems,
Satanists are the one we're looking at to derive good morals from at this point.
But Manson was kind of the head of the band. Well, Weinstein, the guy who should be fired, is kind of the head of his company.
He was fired.
He was fired. Oh, this company did fire him. Oh, there you go. See,
yeah, but only because he got caught.
Oh,
and then what? Bill O'Reilly comes out and says that he's mad at God because he got, you know, caught.
Oh,
yeah. Like he literally on air said that he was mad at God, which I thought was
you know, usually people praise. You know, no one's been calling blasphemy.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey.
Also, Dustin Hoffman, he's the next one to bite the dust.
Why?
He hit on a 17-year-old like 40 years ago.
How old is he?
Wait.
He's 80.
Okay. I was like, depending on his age, there may have been like a, you know, match up there.
You're saying Dustin Hoffman is 80?
Yeah.
I'm looking it up.
All right. While he looks it up, we're going to move along to GameStop.
There's
later this month on, actually, GameStops are still around. Remember, they're the ones who bought.
Oh, I was thinking of Game Crazy. Sorry.
Oh no, Game Crazy. But I don't know if there is. But I know the one got shut down, Pocatello, for selling games early. But GameStop, they are going to have a rent game. You pay $60, and it gets you 6 months of rent game rentals as long as they're used. But where some people buy the game and then return it for the game trade-in price with the same day, it might not be a terrible idea.
So it's $60 for 6 months. Okay, that's not too terrible. I was going to say like that's if it as I was thinking it was like $60 a month. And I was like, well, GameFly is like $9.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so this one is a dollar more, and you can only get their used games. And you have to be, and actually, here's the other thing that adds to the cost. You have to be a Power Pass member. So you have to pay for their annual, $12 a year, their magazine cost.
Yeah, but you have to get that magazine, which is freaking,
which is worth the money.
It's not even recyclable.
Can you burn them?
I mean, if you want cancer.
Oh, okay. So you get the magazine, you pay for $12 for the magazine, you pay $60. Or $10 a month, because you have to pay $60 up front. You're locked into a 6 month setup initially. So you get to go to brick and mortar stores instead of having them shipped to you. You only can have one at a time.
The whole thing about renting games, for me at least, was that like you need enough time to beat them.
Depends. See, the games I usually buy are the ones
that you want to beat.
Well, either I want to beat or I'm just going to just play, like the Elder Scrolls games or the Fallout games. I'm just going to play this game until I can't play it on this device I have it on.
You know, that actually reminds me of sad news. Did you know that Konami, after they dropped Hideo Kojima, they're actually making a lot more money?
That's
focusing
depressing.
On mobile games. Yeah.
I only know half of the words you just said.
Okay. So Konami, they...
Oh, Konami. Okay. I misunderstood the way you pronounced it or something. Yeah. I don't know. It sounded weird.
Well, yeah. Konami, they dropped Kojima and they profited from that. That was a good business maneuver.
Well, yeah, because he kept putting up, up, down, down, left, right, BA start on all of his games.
That's true. So he... their focus on mobile games was very business savvy because they suck. They like bad games. They don't like good games. It's a depressing world. Yeah. So that's horrible
news.
People
just don't want to take the time to sit down and play video games like they used to.
Or
play good video games.
No. Or play something
games.
New.
Mobile games
because
suck.
That's why sequels. Same problem with movies. We want to pay for something especially when we're going to pay $60 for it. Plus, I want to pay for something that we're going to get know we like.
Yeah.
Well, and, yeah, and mobile games are free. Like, mobile games are typically free, not always, but like,
or they're free initially,
ad supported, or like they, but they're not. They're just free. Like, most of the mobile games are free. Like, you don't have to pay to keep playing, but they won't let you play for so long.
They're profitable for a reason. People actually do engage
people
in that market.
People do pay. But I think it's one of those things. Like the vast majority of people don't actually pay a lot of money for them. But you get these few people that get hooked to them, and then they just pay out the nose for it.
They call those whales in the industry.
Yeah, the mobile games really take advantage of those people, so you got to feel bad for those people.
You
genuinely should, because it's generally a game that they appreciate and really enjoy. So, like, they're getting what they want when they just, like, start pulling out the wallet.
And it's changing the industry in a bad way.
I disagree so much. Like, just huge disagreement. Yeah, there's, like, new opportunities for, like, very rich, like, single-player games with, like, really expansive storylines. I mean, like, there have been so many good games that have come out lately, just because there's a lot of mobile games that sort of, like, if you take, like, on the average, like, half of all games use, like, a free-to-play model. I mean, that's true, but it's also true that there's more choices than ever for really good quality games. Like, Firewatch came out last year, and that was 100% a narrative game that was... It was like a first person game, but like there was no shooting or anything. And it was still like a deeply maybe not creepy, but intense game, like all the way through. There have been like so many good games that have come out lately and like experimental projects that people put out that there isn't reason to feel bad that Konami's like backing off from doing okay in the mobile market. I mean, it just means Kojima's gonna go out and like make a Metal Gear ripoff that's like more Kojima than ever with like a smaller studio of like acolytes that support him.
Well, I agree that it's good that like any market is not contracted at the expense of the other. So I do support a greater industry for independent games. But at the same time, I feel like it's projected. I've read lots of ominous articles which indicate that the market is definitely shifting away from games like Metal Gear Solid and like Visceral Studios. Star Wars is another indication of that, although it wasn't fully EA's fault, like with that Kotaku article that I showed you.
I should definitely stick that in the show notes. That article is like really illuminating. It's a long read, but it actually explains in good detail about what went wrong with the EA Star Wars game.
But I guess it is entirely speculative, but it's concerning the notion that games that I really do like, which are single player focused, story heavy games like Metal Gear Solid,
or like Firewatch, and Tacoma.
That they'll be, and especially the cinematic ones, because I enjoy those. With large,
that's why you like movies.
I like interactive movies.
You're gonna love VR.
Really don't feel bad about it. There's like if you do some looking around, just keep your eyes open. You'll see plenty of like cinematic games that have come out recently. It's just that the big studios are going away from that because they can make more money if they don't make those like more artistic experiences. But that's also because like little studios will do it on their own just for appreciation of the art of making like a very narrative heavy experience. So I mean, like EA can't compete with like a little tiny studio that has like, you know, six employees, because they have to like feed and clothe like 6,000 employees. So yeah, they're always gonna have drop crates and in-app purchases and junk like that, because like they can't just like make a single player experience that like you pay for it at GameStop, and like the most money they're gonna make is just whatever rings up at the register. They kind of have to have these income boosts all the way from retail to you basically playing it every single time you open the game.
Right. Well, I'll be fine. Ultimately, if there continues to be a preponderance of games like The Last of Us and Red Dead Redemption and some of the, like Mass Effect, only done right, not Andromeda.
I'm wondering, what do you think, Anna? I mean, what kind of games are you into? Because, I mean, you're definitely a gamer. We've been, our relationship is kind of focused around games at the beginning. I came over to play Katamari that first time.
I know. I like Katamari. I like Little Big Planet. I like those kind of games. I don't mind, like, Mario games, too.
So, I mean, what's important to you, like, overall? Like, you, the story, the gameplay, the graphics? I mean, what do you look for in a game?
It really depends on the type of game. Because Katamari, like, you have to pick up everything.
Yeah, so you seem to go for the novelty versus the same type of thing. Like you're just awful at first-person shooters, I know. But the games that you like seem to be really, really varied in style and everything. Because, like, you enjoy The Sims and Katamari and the platformers a bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know my exact, like, match as far as, like, trying to say what is my favorite or, like, what it is that it takes to make a game for me. Just because, like, it's just kind of various.
Yeah. Well, that's, I don't know. I think that there's just been a lot more diversity, like Alex is saying, and I don't think that the mobile is killing the gaming market. It's just,
I guess,
expanding.
We'll see.
It.
Because right now, I'll agree with you that there hasn't been a huge contraction, but the budgets of these AAA games are increasing, and it does seem like studios are reacting to that. And so this is more of a concern for the future evolution of the market and what it indicates rather than the present situation. Like, right now it's fine because we are, and in fact Last of Us 2 is coming out, I think, in 2018. Red Dead Redemption's coming out. There are lots of great games coming out, but I feel that in the next 5 years they may be more supplanted by mobile.
Are they great games because they're sequels?
No, they're great. Last of Us isn't a sequel to anything.
Okay.
It's a great game. Red Dead Redemption, the original, it's a great game.
It was a great game, and that's why they're doing the sequels, because because Red Dead Redemption was GTA on horses.
Yeah, and it is done as well as you can do it. It is an amazing game.
So would you say it's a prequel then?
Ooh. Well, we should probably wrap things up, though. Getting close to our hour. So, famous last words. Go, Alex.
I mentioned this game once before. I'll try to stick in the show notes. But yeah, Firewatch is definitely worth checking out if you're looking for my trump card for the deeply narrative driven stories are gone by the wayside, because it is a really
by
good
trump
game.
Card, do you mean, by trump card, do you mean make it makes everything worse?
The older definition.
I like Firewatch. It's a good game.
I don't know what to say, because, like, there are certain games that I do like, and it depends upon what it is. If it's a puzzle or something that I would like to play it, it still kind of varies what it is.
My wife is genre agnostic.
Now that Halloween is over, Merry Christmas!